it's usually still pretty safe to talk about the weather. A lot of topics have become almost impossible to discuss anymore, so much division. But the weather, still pretty safe. It's a rainy day, it's a hot day, it's a cold day. Isn't it a beautiful day? It's easy to do that. Before Lent started, we were reflecting on creation in those beautiful passages from the book of Genesis, and we saw that creation is a good work of God. That creation reflects God's order, God's power, God's beauty. There's a lot of talk about the weather now because of the typhoon that was just to the south of us, and it rained yesterday, it rained last night. Looks like it will rain today. A little unusual to have a typhoon this time of year, but that's the way it is, so we talk about it. In today's first reading from the prophet Isaiah, we have this beautiful reading about how the rain and the snow come down from the heavens. In some parts of the world, there's lots of snow this time of year. Here we've had lots of rain. Comes down from the heavens, and we say, okay, that's part of God's creation. It's part of how things work. It's not simply the forces of nature. When we're in, fourth grade, we learn about evaporation and condensation and precipitation, the cycle of the water cycle. Everyone pretty much grasps that rain comes down, and then it evaporates, it goes up, and then it becomes clouds, and then it comes down again. But it's not just rain coming down and going up and going down and coming up. It's God's order. It's God's plan that rain comes down, and it comes down for a purpose. That's what it says here. It comes down to achieve something. What looks to us like simply forces of nature happening on their own God does establish laws of nature, and rain does follow these rules, but it's for a purpose. So to water the earth and to make it fertile and fruitful. Now that's already something beautiful to reflect on, that we're under God's orderly plan. But Isaiah takes it another step and says, not only does this reflect God's creative power and order, it also is a representation of how God's word works. But just like rain and snow comes down and it comes for a purpose and it achieves its purpose, the same is true of the divine word. So shall my word be, the Lord says, that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it. So it's not simply we're not simply talking about the weather here. We're talking about the power of the divine word. God's word that is not just babbling. God is not speaking empty words. He doesn't waste his time. His word achieves the end for which he sent it. That's why we ponder the word, so that it will achieve the end for which he sent it. Now, this reading, which compares the rain and the snow to the word, does not speak about the recipients of the word. It stays pretty much on the natural level, God's part, God's order. And when it comes to the soil and the plants and even the animals, things work according to their nature. That's how God set it up. But when it comes to free creatures, which is what we are, there's another element. There's another dynamic at work here, because we can respond to the word or not respond. It's the soil and the plants and the animals, they don't really have any choice. They're not free. They just do what they're supposed to do. But we have a choice. So it's important for us not simply to have the word drop on us but we are to engage with the word. We're supposed to enter into relationship with the speaker of the word, God. Which brings us to today's gospel. This gospel is about prayer. Prayer is all about relationship, our relationship with God. If you take away the relationship, then you just have empty words. You have words falling on us, and we have our words just being thrown into the void. No relationship, no communication. No relationship, no effect of the word. Now, this gospel is the missing piece from the gospel we heard last Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. Remember, Ash Wednesday, Jesus gave the three fundamental pillars of the spiritual life, almsgiving, and then spoke about prayer, and then he spoke about fasting. And in each case, he said, well, don't do it the way the hypocrites do. Don't do it just for show. Do it in secret. Almsgiving, prayer, fasting. Well, that passage from Matthew chapter 6, which is, you know, very clear, orderly, good reading, it has this section about prayer, and especially the Lord's Prayer, inserted into the middle of it. But the liturgy takes this piece out and puts it into the first week of Lent so that we can focus specifically on this, prayer. It's already established that prayer is not supposed to be done simply for show. We're not supposed to pray so that people hear us or see us. We're supposed to do it so that our Father in heaven sees and hears us. That's why Jesus says, go into the secret of your room, close the door. But then he gives this instruction. Don't babble like the pagans. Don't assume that more words means more effective prayer. This is a lesson perhaps we all need to keep learning. You know, some of you heard me complaining about the oratio. It got a lot longer. We say it every day. It's not babbling, don't get me wrong. It's not a bad prayer, but it is a lot of words. And it doesn't make it better than the prayer we used to say, which was fewer words and basically the same intention. Lord, save us from the pandemic. Lord, help those who are working with the sick, and help us to cooperate in doing good. And we entrust ourselves to you. So the spirit of the prayer is the same, but it's a lot more words. It's possible for us, when we enter into Lent, to introduce into our prayer routine a lot more words. And the warning here is that doesn't necessarily make any difference. Don't simply add more words. Add more prayer, yes. Time with prayer, time in direct communication with God and with the saints, yes. But don't simply add more words. That's what pagans do. What pagans do is they treat the words of prayer like magical formulas. Okay, I'm going to say this and this will happen. Again, it removes the relationship. I'm going to say this and it will happen. That's magic. Abracadabra, oh, poof, a rabbit comes out of the hat. Oh, the power of the words. No, that's not prayer at all. Prayer is all about the relationship. It's expression of relationship. It's deepening of the relationship. It's communication between people who love each other. That's prayer. So, and the one we're talking to already knows everything about us. That's why Jesus says, you don't have to tell God what you need. You don't have to inform him, that is. We do have to tell him. But we don't have to inform him as if he doesn't know. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. God knows we're in a pandemic. He knows it. It's still right that we ask for his mercy and for healing, that we ask for relief, yes. But it's not as if we have to remind him. He knows what we need before we ask him. And then Jesus in this gospel teaches us the beautiful powerful, short prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And he says, this is how you are to pray. This is not a magical formula. This is not simply words that will have effect simply because we repeat them. This is an expression, a perfect expression, of how to relate to God. We praise him, we honor him, we submit ourselves to his will, we ask for what we need each day, we ask him to forgive us, we commit ourselves to being forgiving, we ask him for protection from the evil one. It's a complete prayer. Very beautiful for us to ponder on it. But notice that it starts with an affirmation of our relationship with God. Our Father. As soon as we say the word Father, we're talking about a relationship. It automatically puts us in the position of children. Who says Father? Only children say Father. We are children of God. And because we are his children, we can approach him in this intimate way, in this very personal way. We don't have to have a perfect formula to use. We have to have an understanding of who God is and who we are and what this relationship is. Now, because we are children of God and because we're made in his image, there's an interesting thing to take this one more step. Just as God's word has power, that's the first reading, God's word doesn't go without its effect. We who are made in his image have the capacity that our words have power too. Not divine power exactly, we're not God. But when we ground ourselves in our relationship with him, our words tap into his own creative power. And we know this if we think about it. Words have really amazing impact. If you say the wrong thing to someone, or if you say something that's really insightful, even if you say something really funny, it really affects people. I mean, words really do go, they really go deep. Sometimes they really pierce, they hurt. But when we're talking about the words we use in prayer, it's good to remember, words have power. When we pray, that is when we unite ourselves with God, when we say, your will be done, when we use those words, and we mean it, your will be done, your kingdom come, it happens. It doesn't go without effect. That's why we continue to pray. We continue to pray for the end of the pandemic, yes, because it's an effective way of dealing with a worldwide crisis. It is effective. It doesn't mean that we're in control. We're submitting ourselves to God, but we participate in the unfolding of God's beautiful plan when we pray. So don't give up on prayer when you don't see anything happening. Don't give up on prayer when you get tired or when you think God isn't listening or that it doesn't have any effect. No, God is listening and he is speaking and his word has effect and our words of prayer have effect because we are his children, his beloved children, and he is our Father.